Hello, survivors, and welcome back to another episode of Insta-Death Survivors Support Group. I'm Brian Hazard, your ever-eager explorer of all games narrative, and this is part two of my play session of The Fires of Chitara with Cesar Capacle. Last time, we got to know our characters Carter and Twig, and we traveled through Carter's old home of Mushtown, which was ravaged by the Everflame. In this episode, our heroes will be faced with some difficult choices as the plot takes a turn. Don't forget, if you're interested in seeing the design process for this game, you can head over to the InstaDeath YouTube channel. Just search InstaDeath Podcast on YouTube, or you can click the link that I've provided in the show notes. What you are about to hear is a fully improvised journey through a fantasy kingdom, through the eyes of its lowliest citizens. So I hope you enjoy part two of The Fires of Chitara. All right, so we'll roll and we get, I got 6-1 or 1-6. So 1-6 is The Lost Wings of Hadina, Elusive Dust Fae, or 6-1, Grazing at Hollow Pasture.
The lost wings of Hadina. You have a connection,
I
right?
I do. Kestria is the emissary of Hadina.
Okay.
And you have a connection to Fae as well.
Right, yeah. So this sounds like a good choice. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I like it. So I think I'll sort of frame up the overall kind of idea here. I think that
Okay. We've
returned. It's maybe a few days later or something like that. I've been processing. I'm a little bit aloof as I'm doing my job walking around because I'm still processing this experience and what I learned from it. You have come to me asking about a message that you asked me to give to Kestria before. Does one of those make sense?
Makes. It does.
All right. So I think we're both lost in conversation. Where you're talking to me. How about that? Why don't we just start there and we'll get into the Lost Wings. Where I'm going with this is that we're going to bump into Kestria and she's going to give us something that we need to go get for her related
okay.
to the Lost Wings. Sound good?
Sound good. Okay. So, we are probably at your place, you'd say, or we are on the road?
Yeah, so I think we're in kind of the more impoverished district of Chitara. We're on the roads. I'm pushing a cart right now full of, it's pretty terrible smell because I've been going around and getting people's chamber pots to take to the cesspool right outside of town. So I've just got a cart full of sloshing human waste and animal people waste and stuff.
Right.
So I'm pushing the cart along and I'm not really paying attention to what I'm doing.
And I'm probably following along on the hopes of finally getting the answer to the message I asked you to. It's been a while and you said that... According to some sort of schedule that Kestria kind of returns to tell you something. Today would be a possible day that you would stumble upon. I think it's fun if we like decide that the messages from the Fae folk, they can't happen in a very scheduled place mm-hmm. or time. They just say, be on your way, and we find you. And so I've been following you with those smelly pots the whole day because you kind of noticed a pattern
mm-hmm.
repeating. And it looks like today would be the day in this. So, yeah, we're...
So I think as I'm sort of reassuring you and saying, anytime now, I'm sure, probably today. If not today, tomorrow, you just... Stick with
you
me, Twig.
You said this yesterday.
And maybe at that moment, ow! Right? Like, and right. I've actually run, because I'm not really paying any attention, I've run the cart right into Kestria. And some of this material has sloshed up onto her. She, you know, it's pretty humble attire, and she's like, "Ah, gross." You know,
poor thing.
What do you do at this site?
Right, I'm usually a person that offers help and is very careful with other people's feelings. But at this moment, I'm so excited that I don't care so much that she's all messed up, and I just jumped in front of her and I ask her, "Do you have a message? Do you have a message for me?"
And I sort of jut in and say, "Kestria, this is my friend Twig. He's a mouse, as you could tell. Not many mice have purple fur. It looks pretty cool, don't you think?" Kestria, I think, just sort of looks at us both and says, "I don't know. Should we? Is this a place where we should do an oracle roll to determine whether she has a message back?"
Yeah. All right. I'm into it.
All right. So let's see. Do we think it's more likely or unlikely that she has?
I think it's likely that she has a message.
All right.
Maybe not the message that I want, but a message, right?
Right. So if it's a 5 or 6, she doesn't have a message. If it's a 1 through 4, she has a message, and it's in some way positive. If it's a 7 or higher, maybe she has a message, but it's not good, right?
Right.
All right. Here we go. And I got, of course, I got a 5 or 6. No message. Yeah. No message for you.
Right. So this is interesting because if she doesn't have a message for me, what is she doing here? Now I think we can tie with the prompt, the wings of something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? Has Hadina lost her wings? Is she, does she found the wings and she needs them delivered to her? What do you think here?
I think, let's say that as some sort of consequence of the Berry War that helped or caused the Feyfolk to flee, this lost connection of the way they could express their magic into this land is represented by their having wings. And this war was over when some kind of very dark magic caused the Feyfolk, or at least the most important ones. She is elusive.
Beast
Fey. Yeah, so maybe she had a kind of a stealth role in the war, and it was like an important piece for the victory of the Feyfolk in this war, was that Hadina actually got on with her mission, but when she was close to do so, this magic was released, and their wings just fell off. But there has been a rumor or a hint or a clue that they can get back now somehow, maybe related to some of the events of the mission that we are talking about.
What if there is a collector of artifacts from the Berry War? And this is so in the hoity-toity section of town, and Kestria has caught wind that this collector, she's recently come into possession of a pair of wings, fey wings, that she has on display and is sort of touting as, "Look what I have," you know?
Like, yeah, just a pair of wings.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Cool. Maybe this collector, she probably acquired these wings from one of the nobles that recently came to the Laughing Blossom Festival that's about to happen. And yeah, he was like a traveling merchant, and he's returning to this place.
Yep.
Okay, cool. So it's not a message per se, but it's more like a favor. And why is she asking us
That's a great question.
Do you think, like, we could not raise any kind of suspicions? You just go there, like, if you had an important invitation or a message or something like that.
Yes.
Because you were expected anywhere.
I, in particular, I'm going to go pick up his chamber pots.
There you go.
It's Chamber Pot Tuesday here in Chitara.
You have to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Okay, I like it.
So Kestria says, I'm sorry, I bear no message, but I do have a task for Carter. And actually, I'm going to let you from here take Kestria on so that I can be Carter for this.
Okay. So she says, we've heard that a collector in the outskirts of town has recently got possession of something very important to us. Something that could stop the advance of Nephius' attacks. She might still have the throne, but if we get the wings back, it's a chance for the Fae folk to return and support the king on keeping his throne. So now I think I want to break here because we as characters have probably very different reactions to this. Since for me, it's great. I might have my granny back and the Fae folk back.
Mm-hmm.
For you, how do you feel about, like, you have a claim to the throne? Do you want to be a king? Do you want the king to stay on the throne? How are you feeling about
it? Well, I think we align okay, because my claim to the throne is based on my bloodline connection to Eirik, and it's actually maybe central to my idea of, like, achieving equity for mushroom people. Is like, my feeling is that if somebody's half mushroom can take some form of authority and power, then I can show that...
Tip the balance.
Yeah, exactly. But if Nephia is able to take control, then my entire claim to that possibility sort of vaporizes. So even right. I think I'm like, a chance to hold back Nephia. This is, yes, I'm willing to help. What do I need to do? Yeah.
Okay. And then she briefs you. I know that maybe they have a very weird name for Tuesday in the Fae folk that she now pronounces. Every this day, you have to collect the pots. And I rushed here and got myself all splashed because of it. Because I know you haven't had the chance to get to her quarters yet. So there's no easy way to say this. You have to steal it. You have to go to this collector and steal the wings.
So I think I look sideways at Twig. Like, and
what?
I think I actually look kind of giddy, like, oh, yes. And how does Twig react to this?
I mean, I think it's exciting, mm-hmm. right? First, seeing those wings is something that is the closest he will get to the Fae magic mm-hmm. in a long time, so this is exciting. And I'm a mouse, so everything that is stealthy and, like, obscure and running through the corners is something that I instinctively like to do.
Yeah.
So I'm all in, for sure.
Perfect. Okay, so we're in it for different reasons. For me, I'm excited about the opportunity to sort of stick it to the man, so to speak, because to me, the wealth and opulence of the folks in the better part of town is all just a reminder of the relative squalor that the rest of us are living in, you know?
Okay. Excellent.
So stealing from a collector who's just buying things with their excess wealth is like, yes, let's do that.
Right.
So I don't ask for anything in return. I'm just like, absolutely, we'll have it back in an hour.
Okay. Yeah. Count on us. Well, since we can establish a challenge in this scene yet, mm-hmm. we could provide a twist, but it's not that simple. You need first to something. I don't know if it's an extra step or a special condition. Do you have a feeling for what kind of a twist for this? It's not simply go there and steal it.
We can layer on obstacles here. First, obvious one, is that perhaps Terrine, the princess, who is kind of in my mind, is kind of running things on behalf of the slumbering king. At this very moment, is visiting this collector, who we should give a name.
Right.
Let's call her Trista.
Maybe. Trista the Collector.
Yeah. But what that means is that some kingdom guards are stationed all around this helm of the collector right now while she's there.
Perfect. Okay, so here's the thing. When you have a clear direction or on where the story is going after you like frame a scene, we can go straight to the scene and skip the role. We can use the matrix as some sort of flavor to add a layer to the place we're going to. And by for that, we can pick one or roll randomly. So I believe the next scene is us arriving at this place.
I agree.
So, yeah. So I don't think we need a roll on the matrix, but we might want to like look at it and maybe catch a prompt that caught our eyes that we can like insert in the narration.
Yeah.
What do you feel?
I like that. So it's not the scene itself. It's just something we could insert. I'm going to roll randomly for it.
Okay. Let's see if it makes sense.
So we got 5-4, the blade of a general in the Berry War, or 4-5, a chill blows in from Boiling Lake.
Do you feel one of those?
I think the blade of a general in the Berry War. So as we're approaching the home, one of the Kingdom Guard is a descendant of... Yeah, how long ago was the Berry War? Did we determine that?
We didn't, but I was little. I'm kind of still little, so a matter of a decade.
Okay. So
not very long.
We'll say is a son of a notoriously brutal general from the Berry War, and he carries his very well-known blade, which can slice through anything with no effort whatsoever. In fact, he can't even sheath it. He has to just hold it by the hilt, because if he tried to put it in the sheath, it would just like cut through it without.
Yeah. Wow. And it probably has those distinctive purple stains as well as part of it.
So should we go sort of step by step action, or should we do like a push roll for the overall result of the scene? How do you want to handle that?
The way you feel it, depending on how long you want to play and how invested you are in the consequences of minor or major actions, you can skip over a whole scene with a one roll and see how it goes, or you can like have an approach and then a minor action. It's just a matter of how much you are invested in this particular resolution.
I think that I'm interested to like see one more scene. So for the sake of this, what if we just do a push roll for this whole scene?
Which is getting the wings?
Yeah.
Or,
attempting to get the wings. Based on the outcome of that, we'll know where this is taking us. So.
Okay, cool.
Cool. Does it matter which of us should roll? Maybe we each roll.
Okay.
Yeah. So how does it go for
each of us? Okay, then we have two consequences. Okay, right. Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's make our decisions in silence and then talk about what we did as far as like whether we decided to push it or not.
Okay. Oh my God.
Fantastic. Okay. How did it go for us on your side?
Well, I got a one on my first roll.
Oh, nice.
And I decided to push because it would be a weak hit. So, and I got a 4 on the second one. Mm-hmm. So I got a total of 5. So I'm on a strong hit.
See, I took even riskier. And it also worked out for me. I got a 5, but I had a 3 on my first roll.
You pushed on a 3?
Yeah.
Good. I like it.
So anyway, we both got strong hits, which means we both get what we want here.
Right.
So let's just do sort of a quick high-level overview of how the scene played out.
Okay. I think I have a first reaction of, I think my strong hit here, I was thinking in my mind, if I had a weak hit, I might have, even after getting the wings, I kind of have a beef with the guard because of the scars that I carry mentally and physically. Mm-hmm. And I would try to, you know, grab his blade or, I don't know, do something about it. But I think my strong hit here is interpreted as I saw that, but I could control myself. Mm-hmm. And not getting trouble, direct confrontation with the guard and focus on the mission because I really want to see my grandmother again. And I could, like, control mm-hmm. my instincts.
Can I challenge yeah, sure. you with one little sort of prompt question?
Sure.
How, at what point in this scene did you offer a genuine smile?
Oh, yeah, cool. I think that was the great effort, really, because when we were stopped by the guards right mm-hmm. in the front, right, that's when we spotted the blade. Mm-hmm. And since I'm shorter, I kind of my eyes locked on the blade. Mm-hmm. And for a moment, I clenched my fists like, I want to punch this guy. And he asked me, What's your business here? So I looked up to him and I let go of my feelings and I didn't try to deceive him. I genuinely offered him a smile and a good morning, my good sir. I hope your day is fantastic and your family is doing well. And that kind of honesty and good humor kind of disarmed the guard. He was all tough and trying to stop us. And I said, oh, good morning to you, sir. Then I think you said what business we had there. Yeah. And he let us in, I think.
Awesome. So I think we had a wonderful excuse to go straight to the chambers so that we could collect the chamber pot. And to our luck, the room in which she keeps all of her collection of things was both not in the sight line of the princess and in the general direction of the chambers. So we were able to get in. They were displayed prominently. So okay. It wasn't hard for us to locate them. The only thing is that they're bigger than we expected. So that was a challenge. I'm thinking,
how do you think we carried it?
I think I took the chamber pot and I poured it out on her bed and I put the wings into the chamber pot.
Yeah, that was exactly my thought. Yeah. Not the thing a fairy would love, but we kind of get the job done.
Yeah.
What's your magic again?
So mine is, I can always appreciate beautiful differences.
Do you see a way to express this here?
Yeah, I think it was actually where we were stopped by the guards. Even before that, we're walking through this area. And the wealthy are all around us. And, you know, there's this underlying sense of sort of anger and like, you know, they're no different than us. Like, why do they deserve all of this while we don't have it? And that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But then, you know, I noticed that some of them seemed to be, you know, working hard at something. Some of them seemed to be like sick in their homes, you know. Some of them seemed to be alone and others were amongst their family. And so even here, there's still struggle and people just trying to do their best. And so I was able to focus on what we needed to do instead of seething about the unfairness of this portion of the town.
Very good. Okay. So are you interested in having any kind of trouble on giving these wings back to the Fae?
Yeah, let's roll on the matrix and see if we get some inspiration here. We got a 3-2, the spark within the blaze, or a 2-3, a changing of hearts.
Ooh.
I kind of like a changing of hearts here.
Me too.
What is that? What does that bring up? And who might be having a changing of hearts? Or does it mean something different than it sounds like?
Yeah, maybe a literal change of hearts.
I have a thought. I have a thought.
Yeah, please, please.
That'll give us potentially some conflict between the two of us.
Right. Interesting.
As we're going to deliver these, it occurs to me that these wings are no longer in the possession of a wealthy collector, which satisfies why I wanted to get the wings. And while I am good friends with Kestria and I don't want to offend her, it's possible that they may serve my purpose better in my possession than in the possession of the Fae. And so I'm thinking that I want to use these wings and keep them for myself.
Okay. That's the one ring call.
Yeah, the power exactly. Is in her. My precious.
My precious.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. This is a very good scene. Okay. So I think we're like going back. We have established a rendezvous with the messenger. Mm-hmm. So we could give it to her. Maybe it's like dusk. So it gets a little more dramatic. Mm-hmm. And when we are on the way, I kind of notice you are getting quieter and quieter. Mm-hmm. And, and I finally ask, hey, what's on your mind? What's going on?
And I am staring at these wings in this chamber pot, and they seem to almost be emitting like an effervescent sort of glow that's sort of coming up out of the chamber pot, which, you know, passersby that might see us walking, they might think that it's like literal visible stench, like almost cartoonish stench coming out of it. Yeah. You know, like, but it's,
this is a stinky one.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm seeing that they hold some sort of esoteric and profound power in them. Mm-hmm. And so you ask me what's on your mind.
What's on your mind, yeah.
And I say, possibilities. These wings were in the possession of the Fae for centuries, and all they did with them is have to go into hiding. My people have never had any power. And I think that with this kind of power, we might be able to rise in the kingdom of Chitara. I think they'd be better with the mushroom folk. And I'd like to take them to Ymir.
Right. Now, I think my immediate reaction here is opposition, but I'm wondering if I find any kind of reasoning to articulate how wrong you can be, or maybe I find that your claim is quite... it's true, but I don't think so. So I think my first answer is like I open my eyes widely and I say, Carter, what you're talking about? You're not even from the Fae folk. You couldn't even possibly tap into the magic of those wings. And even when they had possession of this power, they couldn't stop the witch. What makes you think you could do it? I'm sorry, no disrespect to what you can do, but not with a Fae power. This belongs to them. I'm trying not to use my personal reasons, you know?
Yeah. And so I ask, I say, Twig, do you believe in destiny?
I do.
There's something that I haven't told you. You know that I don't look like a mushroom person. And the reason for that is that I am half mushroom. But I haven't...
What do you mean?
I haven't told you that who my father is. And I believe that my heritage means that I'm destined to do great things, but I never knew how. And I've never had in my possession something as potentially powerful as these wings are. My father is King Eirik.
Wow. What? How could he be? What do you mean? Does he know that? Is this true? Carter, are you kidding?
I have to believe it. My mother, before I lost her to wherever she's gone, she told me. She didn't explain to me the intricacies or how this could have happened, but she told me that I was the son of King Eirik. And it was one of the last things she told me as our town burned. And I never saw her again. And so I have to believe that it's true and that it points to my destiny and that these wings may be the key to me being able to lead my people to a fair and equitable future.
I just had an idea.
All right.
I think at this moment, when you say that's the key to lead your people, I have a sudden realization, and I say, now it all makes sense. Oh my God, Aimira is right. It did came a time to use it. So I say to you, grab those wings. Put it in your hands.
So I grabbed the wings. I think perhaps you're the one who took them off the off the shelf. And so I want to make a roll here, because what's going to happen when somebody who has no fae blood touches these wings?
Right.
So I'm going to make a roll because it might be that something bad happens. But what I want to have happen is that they sort of like, you know, I can feel their power and I can feel that they're going to somehow accept me like as like somebody who can do something with them. But I don't know if that's what's going to happen.
So let's see.
I'm going to roll. And on my very first roll, I got a 6.
Oh, wow.
so I can feel their power and that like I'm supposed to be holding them. What do you see as I pick them up?
Well, I think we could establish that you maybe have some sort of fey blood on the past of your lineage that you didn't know.
What if secretly King Eirik is fey?
Oh, I love that.
And this is how we realize it is like, oh my gosh, I'm not half human, I'm half fey, right?
And you're half fey. Mm-hmm. And I see like those wings kind of belong to you. Mm-hmm. And I see that like the energy that flows through the wings kind of has the same color as the aura you're emitting at this moment. And I reach to my backpack and I pull out and produce a crown. Mm-hmm. It is fake, but it's a replica. And Aimir once told me, keep this with you and you know the moment to use it. So I reach to you and place the crown on your head so you have the feeling of both the importance and the responsibility that you would have were you to accept the power and the lineage that you just discovered. You know, just to feel the weight literally of the crown.
Yeah.
How do you react?
I have this realization that all along I felt like my destiny was to, you know, advocate for mushroom rights and give them freedom and equitable access to opportunity. But now in this moment, I realize that my destiny is much more than even that. It is tied to the restoration of the Fae people as well, and bringing them out of hiding and allowing them to be Fae in the open. And so I feel the weight. I feel it deeply that this is going to be the beginning of a long and hard-fought struggle for equity in the kingdom of Chitara.
Indeed.
And so I think that that is an interesting place to stop, right?
It is. I felt the same way. That was a very good cliffhanger.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Cool. Well, thank you so much.
Season one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Thanks so much for playing The Fires of Chitara with me. And
Yeah. I mean, the game is very good. When you sent me the first draft, I looked over the prompts, the traits, and I said, oh, okay, this is super flavorful. There is room for a lot. And depending on what we had rolled for traits and prompts, it could have gone in a completely different direction. And I think one of the things I like the most about the push games is that. And only 2 pages, if you give it to different groups, completely different stories could emerge. So yeah, well done. The game is on point. Very good.
Thank you. And well done on building a system that is, you know, really conducive to, like, it gives you clear guide rails on what you need to do to create a game. And really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Well, that concludes our play session of The Fires of Chitara. I had a lot of fun designing in the push system and exploring the world of Chitara with Cesar. If you like this kind of content, I'd appreciate any kind of support you can offer. Mostly, I just want to get to know you. My main goal in all of this is community, and that takes communication, so stop by and say hi. To do that, you can follow and engage with me on Twitter at InstaDeathPod, or head over to the InstaDeath YouTube channel and comment and like there. Just search for InstaDeath Podcast on YouTube. If you would like to support financially, you can become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. My sincere, eternal gratitude to every patron that helps me cover my costs to create this show. And of course, a special thanks to Cesar for coming on. You can check out his work at capacle.itch.io. Capacle is spelled C-A-P-A-C-L-E. Until next time, survivors, stay adventurous and be the hero in someone's story, even and especially if it's your own. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the show, become a patron at patreon.com/instadeath. A special thanks to our guests and to the contributors who helped make the show better than I ever could on my own. Intro music graciously provided by Jesse Johnson, aka Zenoda. Find more great music by searching Jesse Johnson or Zenoda, spelled with an X, on YouTube and most major streaming platforms. Podcast cover art generously contributed by Patrick O'Neill. You can learn more about Pat's art on his Facebook page, Pat O'Neill Art.